actually going to try and do something. You know, all it takes is Catherine. By the way, you know, Tim will vote for it if Catherine does it. The strange thing about it, having this meeting with Keith, it was just taking note without getting into the substantive matter of all the many good things that he's working on to find safe places and so forth. I'm not allowed to report that, but I can give it an impression that there is a serious problem with the these city councilmen still being hounded by somebody, the city manager or the city attorney, with this concept of the Serial Brown Act, and they're just not communicating with each other about this subject. It's funny, they seem to communicate with each other about every other subject, but they're not in communication with each other. They don't know which one's on, they don't know which page the other one's on. You know, Keith has a completely wrong concept of where Fitzmaurice stands on this and so forth. So hopefully with after I finish with these meetings with these people, at least they'll be all on the same page, and we'll have a better idea how to strategize our civil disobedience Wednesday night.
Tuesday.
Yeah, well, after Wednesday's meeting with them.
I see.
With Chris and Keith, I'll be with Chris and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think I have a pretty good grasp of whether or not Catherine is going to allow this to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a question of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real sad that, you know, Queen Catherine, you know, has to allow this to happen, or they won't vote on it. Tim won't vote for it if Catherine doesn't, and Keith seems like he's no longer willing to stick his neck out if they won't. But we will also be going on to Full Fest April 12th. Those of us on partial, you know, on breakfast, will be going back on to Full Fest, and everybody on Progressive Fest is to step up their fast, and we're going to be going at a much faster rate.
Faster fast,
come April 12th, if they do not decriminalize sleeping. Now, Keith asked me, what do you consider decriminalizing sleeping? I said, I consider decriminalizing sleeping that, you know, something is something, a law, an edict, whatever, that tells the police department not to give tickets to people for sleeping, but sends them to a safe place to sleep. That, to me, is decriminalization of sleeping. What would your definition be, Robert?
Well, I kind of like that. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the language you put into the initial, we all put into the initial sleeping ban repeal initiative back in '98, and then in your most recent effort, it's also there. Although you've given the business community even more leeway by saying we're going to limit this to industrial zones, pretty much.
Industrial zones, and not even the residential portions of industrial zones.
I mean, I think you've given them so much rope.
We've given up everything. The only thing that we've managed to maintain is a contiguous area, that it's from one industrial zone to the industrial zone with a community commercial corridor connecting it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is one solid contiguous area. You can get from one side of town to the other side of town without fear of falling asleep and getting a ticket. The living in fear is the torture, and the sleep deprivation and the living in fear that the homeless people have to do because of this ordinance, and having to hide to go sleep. You know, this kind of torture, you know, is just so unthinkable. It's such a violation of all the human rights standards all around the world. You know, we do have to call attention to the entire world. If they fail on April 11th, we have to call attention to the entire world of what an atrocity is being committed here in Santa Cruz.
Right, I think we have to really start planning steadily, hoping that your initiative will succeed, David, but
yeah.
Aware that we've been essentially misled before.
We have been fooled so many times before. I got very, very angry a week before last when I started a week ago Friday, when I realized that all the promising I've been getting from Catherine and Christopher and so forth really amounted to doublespeak, and that there was nothing on the agenda last. And you know how angry I got when there was nothing on the agenda.
Right,
because I was pretty much sure that there was going to be something on the agenda with the Homeless Issue Task Force.
On the March 30th agenda, you mean? And March 28th agenda.
Yeah, on the March 28th agenda.
Mm-hmm.
This time, you know, the promises are there. Tim Fitzmaurice is going to vote for it if it makes sense, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Keith will only stick his neck out again if Catherine comes along, quote unquote. You know, so there's still a lot of lobbying I've got to do here this week, and a lot of other people. I went to the Doug Rand Memorial Circle at 10:30 at Collateral Damage every first Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and I announced to those people that they should really put pressure on Catherine Byers. Catherine Byers, the number's in the book, folks. So I'm glad you still out there getting petitions on Del Mar. I haven't come by to pick up petitions lately. I have lots more petitions. If people want to come pick up petitions, come see me at Safeway. I got to finish a little bit of routine here around the house, and then I'm going to go over to Safeway on the west side. I'll have plenty of petitions. It gets a little lonely sitting out there sometimes. I've got plenty of clipboards for people to take with them. I know there's students that listen to this show, and I don't know if there's any signatures being gathered up at the campus. I'm going to go up to campus tomorrow and I could sure use some help.
Yeah, I think we're trying to get a Students Against the Sleeping Ban organization resuscitated, and maybe at the meeting today at 5 o'clock at 218 A Plymouth, where we invite everyone who's listening to come on down and help out. That might help. Also wanted to let you know, David, that Michael Schmidt, who I spoke with a couple of days ago, has said he has received absolutely no input whatsoever from any council members after the March 28th meeting for his Safe Sleeping Places initiative, which is different than yours.
Yeah.
But if they're not even going to talk to him about his, you know, his even more limited initiative, I would be very cautious about believing their promises this time.
Well, it's, with this Michael Schmidt thing, it's kind of hard to say. As you know, I campaigned real hard with SCAN not to endorse that, because I thought that was, for SCAN, that was really stepping way, way back, because it was such a minimal proposal. And the man did fold once he confronted the chief of police with this. He had all of the business associations in town endorsing it. A fairly decent plan.
What you're referring to, of course, is the fact that he initially wanted the police department's parking lot
to be one of those parking places. Structure 10.
Right.
There was a lot of things on there that were fairly good. But after his meeting with the chief of police, and he went straight from meeting with me and Skip Spitzer and Sandy Brown and a few other people, straight over to meet with the chief of police. And after his meeting with the chief of police, the kibosh was on. That was it. It was over. So it just really goes to show people, and people should really understand, when we're dealing with the sleeping ban, it's a pet ordinance of the police administration so they can get around the Constitution. That's all it is. It's not a protection for the neighborhoods. It's not a protection for businesses. It's nothing to do with any of that. All it is a pet ordinance of a convenient, targeted community. That's why it's an institutional hate crime.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I'm off my soapbox now, Robert. I'll let you get back on with your show.
Hey, thank you.
Sure thing.
All right, thank you for calling. And that was David Silva, who has been putting in a lion's share of work on a number of fronts. He's been fasting with 70 other people in progressive, rolling, and other fasts to get the city council and the community awake on the issue of the sleeping ban. If the homeless people can't sleep, well, it's time the community woke up and found out what was going on there. Particularly in a time of escalating housing costs, growing evictions, corporate arrogance, and city council indifference and silence, anybody can get out there on the streets very quickly. I ran into Mary Curie the other day. She has been kicked out of the shelter. This is the woman who we were doing some speaking about, a 74-year-old woman who was evicted from her place downtown. She was willing to pay rent. They didn't want her. They wouldn't have her. We went to Mayor Sugar. We went to Councilmember Fitzmaurice asking for some kind of action on her behalf or for people who were like her, and we got nothing. She's out on the streets. She got a place in the River Street Shelter for a month, which is a program one step up from the emergency shelter program. But because she, by her account, failed to set the table, going to make you do these little work tasks, one day, apparently after being told she could set, she had done enough, but she either misunderstood or they misunderstood, they kicked her out, and she was out on the streets for the last couple nights. The weather's gotten warmer, but it's not too healthy for a 74-year-old woman to be out on the streets. And who knows, maybe we'll talk about that at the Huff meeting too, 5 o'clock, 218 A Plymouth. Come on down. I really firmly believe that in spite of all the negotiations that David Silva is engaging in with the city council, we have to trust ourselves and trust the conscience of the community, not the politicians who have made it quite clear that they are unwilling to step up to the plate. I don't care if Keith Sugar has twice voted for the sleeping ban. He has been in a position of power for over 4 months as mayor, and he's refused to put the item on the agenda, his own homeless issues task force item, unanimously passed in December on December 6th. He has the power to put it on the agenda, and if he is so afraid of Catherine Byers, perhaps he should go into therapy or retire to get some kind of assistance. We have an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert's Merlin.
Hey, Merlin.
Hey, I was talking to David Silva earlier, and we both pretty much want to get a concert together, a benefit concert against a sleeping ban.
Excellent.
And I got local bands left and right that'll, they volunteered to play for free.
You know, we have a possible street fair coming up on May 1st where we're going to try to actually do a sleep out, sleep in, street fair, street party against the sleeping ban on a block or two of Pacific Avenue. And you might you might come to the meeting today at the Huff meeting that's happening. Have you been listening to the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're invited to come and give your thoughts, or if you can't come, give a call and let us know. I know we're not going to get amplified music permits to do any of this, and I know the police will probably try to shut it down, but I think that a mass appearance downtown to take back the streets is an excellent idea, and I'm supportive of it.
Well, the benefit concert where David and I were talking about was to raise money.
That's good, too.
You know, so it was, sure. We'd have to have it inside somewhere, you
right,
know?
No, I understand. I'm just kind of bouncing around from one idea to another, it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he's got ideas of where to have it, and I'm not going to mention him over the radio, because, it's up to David to find a place.
Sure.
So I'm going to let him talk about that if he wants
to. Make sure he doesn't spend his inheritance on that, or his latest legal settlement. I hate to see that happen, but I think it's a great idea you guys are looking for.
Well, he seemed to find an excellent idea he had. I'm not going to mention it. It was an excellent idea, and I'm all for it. I hope he goes. He knows what I'm talking about, and I'm sure he's listening right
now.
Yeah,
he's going to be coming to the meeting today, and, you know, certainly keep us advised. Is there anything people out there can do to help you in this effort?
It'd be real nice, because I got the local bands that'll play for free, and David's just going to find a place. It'd be real nice if some sound company, maybe Sanku Sound or somebody, could pitch in a soundboard, you know, for one night to use. Because we're going to need sound.
So if any of you folks out there have a soundboard you want to volunteer for a concert to smash the sleeping band, give a call to Merlin. Should I give your number out, Merlin? Or would you rather... I think they could call the Huff.
No, I was just telling us...
Call the Huff line.
Yeah, because I'm hardly at home, you know.
At 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will pass on that message to Merlin.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, Robert, you know, we're talking about the 74-year-old woman that's on the streets.
Mary Curry, yeah.
This is like, I mean, to have her out on the streets is, I mean, this is going to sound totally ridiculous coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, man, that's going to be a judgment from God on the fucking people in Santa Cruz. Let that woman, if she dies in the streets, that's going to be on their show, on, you know, everybody's shoulders. It's like, that's a crime, man, right there. 74-year-old woman can't, maybe she couldn't, you know, set the table. You know, my mom's younger than that, and she's sick. She can hardly walk, and I'm like, that's a disgrace, man, that you know, somebody in this community can't go out and say, here. I mean, my mom even made a suggestion. The government says they got this surplus of money. Why can't they, you know, build some kind of a homeless shelter here for people with government funds?
Yeah, well said. And even then, again, what we need is some fundamental change in perspective here, because there's a plan to build a family shelter that may house, I don't know, 20 to 50 people, or maybe more, but we're talking 750 to 1,500 people, you know, that are homeless at any one time, and it's just, you know, it's not going to be dealt with by some sort of quick fix shelter building program. You need to have a situation where, first of all, you stop arresting people who have to sleep.
Yeah, that'd be a good step one.
Oh yeah, and
stop arresting people.
And second of all, you know, you have to start allowing alternate means of sheltering, whether we're talking eco villages or land trusts or tent cities or campgrounds, and there have to be, you have to open up these alternatives and recognize that people can't wait for Catherine Byers and Celia Scott, who is also, you know, part of the problem. She hasn't come out in a public stand against the sleeping ban that's been very clear or very strong. She dicked us all around, if you'll forgive the phrase, when we were looking for a campground when she was on the city council. You know, I've heard rumors she's going to run again. Well, thank you very much. I don't want the same old gang of, you know, temporizers in there.
The people that made drinking, you know, on the beach illegal and smoking in line?
Well, that's another issue, too. I mean, you know, but I mean, I think what we need is we need to see the public taking control again of the public process, demanding that there be real discussion and real input and decision-making from those of us in the community who are affected by this stuff, and not just, you know, committees chosen by Catherine Byers with Tim Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar wagging their tails and scurrying along. You know, it's not something that we voted for. It's not something that's good for the community.
Well, I remember talking to, I think it was Mike Rodkin on your show once, and he said the reason things, you know, that what they listen to is the people's cry, you know, that he didn't have enough support for one area or something.
Oh, no.
For the sleeping ban, he said he wasn't getting enough constituents.
Rodkin has always claimed to be is a big booster of the sleeping ban, and he thinks it's a great law because it's what the community wants and needs. And he has 100 explanations and rationalizations for it, but they tend to fall one by one when you examine them closely. The problem with arguing with him, of course, is he speaks so quickly. By the time you've answered one objection, he's got five more. But, you know, he's a very smooth operator, and I think, you know, I Becky Johnson has proposed that, you know, each of these council members needs to have a pie baked for them, and they need to be presented with a nice, rich, creamy pie to, you know, so that the community can see how we feel about them. And I don't, I'm not suggesting any kind of violence. I'm saying that everyone there should get their just desserts. And I'm saying the more they refuse to respond to basic human rights, you know, the more we need to make it real clear that the community is not going along with this.
Yeah, well, you know, earlier I was listening to your radio program, and there was some lady talking about what's going on with the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
Oh, yeah,
they want the
Dolphinly Affordable
that.
Housing Hoax.
Yeah, they want the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk is basically like they own the entire Beach Flats area. They didn't think ahead when they built that place and bought all the land up, adjoining land, thinking of expansion in the future, which is, that's their problem.
Right.
But, you know, they want, and for years now, for years and years and years, man, they want to expand the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, and they want. You know, well, the community wants things, too, and I don't see them going out of their way to do anything for the community.
No, they tend to make a nice profit off the community.
Yeah, all they want is what they want. They're not concerned with, well, maybe we could help the community out in doing this, or maybe we could help the community out. You know, like the Baskin Center, they got that Meals on Wheels. You know, so it's kind of like they're trying to do something for the community. And the Great Bears, they help feed the poor and all that, you know, the elderly poor and all that kind of stuff. What's the boardwalk doing, man?
Speaking of which, boardwalk is creating lots of trash and traffic problems for the community.
Yeah, they just want.
And they contribute a certain amount to, that, I guess, to the tax base, but not much, considering the kind of property they're using. You know, I talked for the first time, actually, ever with Grandma Sue, who, as you know, runs a food pantry out in, and she was part of this fiesta we had yesterday with the Dolphin and Lee tenants organizing to stop the city council's bulldozing of Hispanic residents, which is what what the city council's planning. And Grandma Sue is hopefully going to be on the air on Thursday on my show. She's not entirely sure yet, but she seemed to be very sympathetically inclined. She has come out against the Dolphin Lee the eviction of the Dolphin Lee tenants, which is what the city council is planning. And she's also, I believe, in favor of ending the sleeping ban, although I will have to let her speak up on that when she comes on the air on Thursday, if she does, which we're hoping she does. Is there anything more that you want to say?
Well, I hear a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff on your show, and you hear a lot about it in the Sentinel and the papers about the city council members and the mayor and different individuals in Santa Cruz opposing major corporations, multinational corporations coming into Santa Cruz because they don't want to get pushed around by the big money people, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Well, a lot of that's happening. It seems to be pretty much right here at home with the boardwalk, man.
Yeah, well, that's our own big corporation. It's like, you know, support human rights in Guatemala, but be blind to it when they take it away here with the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz.
And that's the kind of stuff that I don't like.
I'm hoping
you know
that's,
that.
Yeah, I think that's starting to change. I said Tom Shaver, and it's Shaver, not Shavy, I'd like to correct that, who is one of the coordinators of the SCAN Housing Committee. He risked arrest with us on last March 28th, last Tuesday at City Council. We're hoping that all of you out there who have been kind of reluctant to get involved in these protests but have been sympathetic, come on down to that council meeting on April 11th. That means you too, Merlin. You don't have to be arrested, but just come with a sign, come with a blanket on your shoulders.
Yeah, that's at the City Hall?
Yeah, come to City Hall at 7 o'clock. As David Silva is going to try to do with his protest, he says around 11. We're going to be working on this this afternoon at 5 o'clock at 218A Plymouth. And again, the homeless table, the table in front of the Del Mar Theater in Pacific, every day from 12 to 6, we're trying to keep it going, but we really need volunteers. So you might, and you, Merlin, and others out there might think of doing that. I'm going to roll because I want to get on to the next part of the show, but I thank you for calling in.
Okay, thanks for letting me on the air.
Hey, Merlin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we have lines open at 427-3772. Here's a haunting tune from a man who died about 5 or 6 years ago, wrote for my money some of the best political lyrics. His name is Ewan McCall. He was a partner to Peggy Seeger, Pete Seeger's half-sister, great singer. Maybe we can pause and remember those of who aren't with us, and there are 19 homeless people who died last year outside, and Bear, a man with one foot who some of you may know, looked like an old sea dog, laughing, joking, died of a heroin overdose last week. Let's remember all these folks, and let's have a little song here.
When I was a bachelor, airy and young, I followed the roving trade. And the only thing that I done that was wrong was to court a servant maid. I courted her all the summertime and part of the winter too. And many's the time she rolled in me arms for fear of the foggy dew, dew, dew. For fear of the foggy dew. As I lay on me bed one night a-taking my pleasant sleep, this pretty young girl come to my bedside and bitterly she did weep. She tore her hair, she wrung her hands, crying, oh, what shall I do? This night I'm resolved to lie with you for fear of the foggy dew, dew, dew. For fear of the foggy dew. Now all the forepart of that night we did sport and play, and all the latter part of that night she rolled in me arms till day. And when the daylight did appear, she cried, I am undone. Hold your tongue, you foolish young maid, for the foggy dew have gone, gone, gone. For the foggy dew have gone. Supposing you should have a child, it'll make you laugh and smile. Supposing you should have another, it'll make you think a while. And supposing you should have another and another one or two, it'll make you leave off them foolish young tricks and think of the foggy dew, dew, dew. And think of the foggy dew. I love that maid with all me heart, as dear as me lovely life. But in the latter part of that year she become another man's wife. I never told him what she'd done, or damn me if I do. But every time she winks and smiles, I think of the foggy dew, dew, dew. I think of the foggy dew.
And we have a quick service announcement from Merlin. Go ahead, Merlin.
Oh, thanks. I just want to let people know that this evening is one of the anniversaries of The Poet and the Patriot, and Kevin Brennan and the Cloud Out Band are going to be playing there, and it's free. So people want to go down and see some good music and, you know, celebrating the anniversary of The Poet and the Patriot. Kevin Brennan used to be keyboard player for Van Morrison, so that'll be a real good... I usually go there on their anniversary, and it's a really, really beautiful evening.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. And we're kind of winding down Free Radio, and as usual, running into a bit of a time crunch. Here's an incoming call. Radio.
Just a clarification, that was certainly not a public service announcement. That was an advertisement.
My apologies. Naive dog that I am, I think that the Free Radio Monitoring Committee, and I appreciate that call because I need to be brought up to speed on these things, I'm not aware that it's going to cost anything to get into The Poet and the Patriot. So if it does, I
certainly apologize to the collective for these commercial announcements, if that's what it was. I thought it was more of a kind of a come down to the centennial sort of thing. But hey, mea culpa, mea culpa. Let me turn now to the last city council meeting. We had a city council meeting where, of course, there was a lot of protests, and that made the media. But I'm going to talk about an earlier part of the city council that did not make the media, which I was able to record. Actually, I had some difficulty since the tapes are hard to find. The main library is closed, and I've had some equipment problems. But I'm sparing no expense to bring this to you after this brief phone call. And I hope we don't get into a lot of discussion on commercial stuff. Let's see what we got here. Hi there. And looks like we're proceeding. There's been some concerns about the violations of the public Open Public Brown Act, the right of the public to participate in public meetings, to know what the city council is doing, and to be able to give public testimony. You're going to hear now an example of how public testimony, how the mayor, Mayor Sugar, attempts to censor public testimony. This happened last Tuesday at the afternoon session, and how a member of the public responded to that by continuing to talk and successfully getting his message out. Now, of course, it's no coincidence that the member of the public we're talking about was me, and the issue had to do with housing and homelessness. There was a big brouhaha, you know, properly so, about the Cypress Point housing, where a large out-of-town developer came in, real estate person group, and announced they were going to evict everybody and raise rents and kind of re-examine everybody's contracts or re-examine everybody's status. And the tenant organizing stopped that. But what about the next developer? What about rent speculation all over town? Well, they're planning to have a little committee task force look into that. Thank you very much. That wasn't enough for some of us. Here's a little bit of the discussion, and then you see what Mayor Sugar does when I come up to the mic. First, you're going to hear Paul Brindell, then you'll hear James Ney, then you'll hear me. Brindell is the Community Action Board, and Ney is a homeless activist. Got to make sure, however, I put it into the right tape deck, and here we go.
Mayor Sugar, council members, I'm Paul Brindell with the Community Action Board. I'm the Shelter Project Director, and I'm overjoyed to see this on the agenda. We fully support it. I think something significant has happened over the past year, maybe even the last 6 months, where there has been a signal shift in the perceptions and the feelings that residents, not just of Santa Cruz City, but of the county in general, have in relationship to their housing. There is a fear that is growing among residents of Santa Cruz County. My parents in 1955 were two young school teachers who were able on two school teachers' salaries to buy a home. In Santa Cruz County, two young school teachers will not qualify for a home loan. That frightens. When the Community Assessment Project pointed out that 48% of the households in Santa Cruz County are paying more than 50% of their income toward housing, we took notice. That was 1999. But when we break it down to folks that are earning less than $16,000, we notice that that jumps to over 70% of those households are paying more than 50% of their income. And for households between $16,000 and $30,000, it's 55, 56%. It's a significant growing problem. And this kind of action, which I mean, I agree. Sometimes I feel, have we waited too long? How could we have known it would happen so quickly? There's such forces at work that seem to be beyond our control. And yet, this kind of action is within our purview. We can do this sort of thing. And in concert with efforts to increase the amount of state funding and federal funding for these kinds of programs, we can take a certain amount of housing stock out of the market and set it aside for affordability, for low income, for very low income, for moderate income households. And I absolutely applaud your effort today and strongly recommend that the council approve this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments?
Good afternoon, council members, Mayor. I'm James Nay. You probably all remember me. I've been here a few times. I'm very much in accordance with this housing. I think it's extremely important that we visit the issues of housing and we visit them right away. This is not a problem that has suddenly come upon us. It's a problem that's been in the making for many, many years. We have ignored this issue in this town far too long. It's time now for you members of the council to speak up. And I specifically speak to Mr. Crone. I love the things he said when Cypress Point was on the block, come out about rent control and that, but now suddenly you backed off. Well, what is Cypress Point your only concern in this city? I don't think so. I think it's really important that you stick to your guns and you speak up. It's time for rent control. It's time for housing issues for all of the public, not just the rich. And I commend you for saying that. I now say, don't back off. Go forward with it, Mr. Crone. Go forward with Mr. Sugar. All of you. It's time to make housing for all. Thank you very much.
Councilmembers Robert Norris, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Housing is really a key issue and is going to be one that kind of comes up on a lot of your agenda items today. It's going to be happening later at the Redevelopment Agency at 5 p.m. when some of us will be questioning the city's squandering all its affordable housing money for 5 years on the Dolphin Lee hoax. More about that at 5 p.m. It's going to be coming up still later on the agenda.
Robert, stick to the issue. We're not here for briefing.
Issue?
No, it's not. You're briefing us on upcoming issues. Stick with the issue. Item number...
I can be allowed to continue.
20...
I know the item number, yeah. So do you.
Yeah.
Still later on the agenda, regarding housing... Regarding housing is the issue of people who are outside and homeless who don't have...
Robert...
I'm going to ask you to yield the mic, please.
No, I'm going to finish my...
All right. If you don't yield the mic, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Or please leave.
I want to finish the speech.
No, please leave.
On what basis are you asking me to leave?
You're not on the agenda item.
Another task force on this whole issue makes me nervous. I appreciate you turn on the mic so I can speak on this issue, please, Mayor.
I'll be happy to turn on the mic if you stick to the agenda item, but you...
I don't want this to be a personal contest of egos. Let's just get back on the topic. Housing, please. Thank you. I think homelessness is related to housing, but let's continue. If you don't think it's related to housing, we will not talk about homelessness. We'll only talk about housing. Another task force, such as you propose, makes me nervous. You've already seen recommendations from the Homeless Issues Task Force that have been ignored. I'm concerned that another task force's resolutions will also likewise be ignored. I think you need to go straight to the meat of the issue. And the meat of the issue is, as the previous speaker said, rent control and also tenant protection, such as proposed by the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And as you can hear by the change in the voice level, the mic was never turned on. Mayor Sugar contacted the city manager, who rushed to the back, presumably to call the police. Police didn't arrive for really, I don't know, it seemed half an hour, considerable period of time. I was a little apprehensive that they were going to kind of take me away from all of this and either bar me from the chambers or even charge me with disrupting a public meeting, but I think it's quite clear that my discussion was, in fact, on target. I was talking about a housing issue, and I was talking about how the whole agenda for the day, related to housing, and it was a really an important issue, and that it was time for City Council to really do something about it, not just appoint another task force or committee. Sugar didn't like the way I was proceeding, and he proceeded to punish me. And my response, of course, was to ignore him, to raise my voice, because I apparently could still be heard at home on the television, and it still made that tape. What you heard was not a tape I made. It was actually a tape that was made by the City Council itself. So the message did get out. By not being intimidated, if you're up there at the mic, the best thing to do is to continue speaking on topic, continue speaking clearly and loudly to the community and to the people that are present, because that is the target group. City Council, probably, if they're trying to shut you down, they don't want to hear what you have to say anyway, and they don't want the community to hear what you have to say. But it's important, if you have something to say, that you do say it as clearly and as calmly and as loudly, loudly enough anyway, to get through to the community. That was the kind of, we had sort of a, it was a triple header at that City Council session. Sugar, as I said, essentially shut down my mic, told me to leave the room, and I would say he threatened me with arrest. He didn't use the words arrest, but that really was implied. I haven't received a citation. I haven't been arrested yet. I think that I would sue the city if I were arrested, because I think that I was on topic, and I think he was attempting to shut down public communication. And he, in other words, he was in error in his judgment. However, the second thing that happened, which, again, wasn't as dramatic as our sleep-in later on that night, but which was equally interesting, had to do with the Dolphin Lee. The Dolphin Lee, a subject we've been talking about, came up at the redevelopment agency. That's when it usually does come up. And I don't know if we're going to have time to get to that, because we are running into the last few minutes of the show. And I'm going to try to do that, trying to cue up the tape now. And it's the issue at the redevelopment agency was essentially what happened was I gave a long speech which was so long that I couldn't finish it myself. And I gave it to James Ney to complete. What happened was Councilmember Fitzmaurice interrupted my speech to tell me that he thought I was making bigoted comments against Catholics and that he would not stay for that. And he walked out. I'm going to play this now, and perhaps we can get to that before the next show, because we have to end shortly. This, again, is City Council meeting March 28th, the Redevelopment Agency, which is the City Council, meeting on the issue of how to squander $13 million and get rid of hundreds of Hispanics at the same time and gentrify a neighborhood and give its pet developers at Mercy Charities Housing a special soul service contract. Let's hear what I had to say and how the council reacted.
Council members, this is about the Dolphin Lee, but it's not about the tenant committee, so this is an oral communication topic that is appropriate. This morning, the SCAN Housing Subcommittee rang with cries of outrage. Over what? The City Council's latest adventure in urban renewal, the Dolphin Lee Project. A plan to tear down two apartment buildings and one vacant Canfield building. The Dolphin Lee apartments currently house 200 to 400 Latinos in the beach flats. The Byers Fitzmaurice $12.5 million plan will consume all the city's affordable housing for 5 years. It will create less units and space for less people than currently occupy the existing Dolphin and Lee buildings. Why, asked SCAN members, wasn't the city spending money to rehab properties, or at least considering that as a proposal? Was it perhaps because Mercy Charities was the group that presented all the alternatives to City Council? That Mercy Charities was chosen as the sole source builder? That Mercy Charities will also be the sole manager of the new illegal immigrants need not apply project? SCAN wasn't told, it seems, that Mercy Charities is slated to own this property outright in 20 years. SCAN wasn't told that Mercy Charities will not be required to have low-income housing there after that period. SCAN wasn't told that other arrangements with other low-income developers like Mid-Peninsula and Bridge were never even considered. SCAN wasn't told that the city had declined to set up arrangements to the property that would revert back to city ownership, or that permanent low-income restrictions would remain in force, protecting the tenants. What assures us that Mercy Housing is not tied in with an organization like Catholic Healthcare West, notorious for its anti-union, anti-gay, anti-woman, and neo-medieval policies? Catholic Healthcare West and Mercy Charities both operate under the umbrella group, the Sisters of Mercy. Jack Burgess, Chief Financial Officer for Catholic Healthcare West in San Francisco, is also Chairman of the Board of Mercy Charities Housing California Board of Directors. Has the city decided to pass on millions of dollars to the Sisters of Mercy, plus a valuable piece of property, plus valuable buildings as a gift? What will prevent Catholic Healthcare West from using that property as collateral to acquire still more hospitals from which it will remove the family planning clinics and gut abortion services? I'm happy to hear your response, Tim. I just want to finish my my comments. We are all aware and appreciate the work of good Catholics struggling to find affordable housing, provide shelter, and confront indifferent government agencies intent on enforcing anti-homeless policies. I have nothing but respect for rank-and-file Catholics, such as Father Marini, who has stood up repeatedly for the rights of Santa Cruz homeless people, even when it meant confronting the Rotkin and his sleeping band-friendly city council. My time is up. My speech is not. I believe another person will continue it. Thank you, and I'd be happy to hear your comments, Councilmember Fitzmaurice.
I don't want to remove the quorum, but I don't want to listen to bigoted comments about religious organizations. I can't deal with that. I can deal with specific comments, but not generic comments. And so I just want to make that clear. That's beyond me. That's just beyond me. So if I leave, it's because I won't. I think it's disgraceful.
Thanks, Tim. Next speaker, please.
James Nay. On the other hand, I have no sympathy whatsoever with the reactionary politics of certain sections of the Catholic hierarchy. Giving more economic and political power to an entrenched and wealthy patriarchy that owns more than 150 pieces of property in this county and at least a dozen in this city troubles me.
And at this point, Councilmember Tim Fitzmaurice walked out. The speech now continues as James Nay reads it.
Why mix up the whole business of religion and affordable housing anyway? Why not allow competitive bidding? Why is Mercy Charities being given such a blank check? These are alarming questions to which I do not know the answer. The most frightening thing of all is that this city council, this redevelopment agency, is not looking to give the answers. Why won't this council simply vote to guarantee ironclad relocation benefits and certain return to the housing for every person currently in Dolphin Lee, in writing? Julie Lee made this request in writing 2 weeks ago and repeated it at today's closed litigation session earlier this afternoon. Councilmember Fitzmaurice smirked. Mayor Sugar looked at his watch, and no one had anything to say. The community itself must demand that this disrespectful and dangerous runaway freight train be pulled off to a siding for a careful reevaluation. If Councilmember Crone means what he says when he privately says the city should build on Canfield's vacant lots, move Dolphin Lee tenants into that housing once built, and then refurbish the Dolphin Lee, let him say so publicly. Let Sugar and Crone stop voting unanimously to rubber stamp the Rotkin Beers Fitzmaurice freight train every time it comes up. We have heard their apologetic whimpers about not having the votes, trusting Andy Schifrin, and waiting until the next election. But the community cannot wait until the next election because negotiations are happening behind closed doors to rush this project forward now. 2 weeks ago, I requested a schedule from Christopher Crone of where we stood in this plan to build affordable housing by destroying affordable housing. As of last night, he had no clue. Rumors are circulating that the Dolphin property has already been sold. Remember JPI, Texas-based greedheads, ready to evict hundreds of Cypress Point residents last week? Well, look at the council members in front of you. Who needs JPI when we've got the Santa Cruz City Council, the redevelopment agency, ready to make hundreds of poor Hispanic homeless? If angry activists stop JPI at Cypress Point, then it's time those of you out there watching who are angry got active about Dolphin Lee. I encourage those of you who have had a bellyful of this council's evasions and silences to contact Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I also request respectfully that you put in writing where these people are going to go. Don't say, trust me. Don't say, I promise they're going to go somewhere. Tell us where they're going to go. Put it in writing. These are families. These are working people. These are poor. We need to see exactly where they're going to go and what they're going to do. We don't take away housing. We build housing. What is needed here is more housing, not less, and we don't need more people on the street. Thank you very much.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Bathurst Broadsides will return on Thursday, 6 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Just a little longer. It always seemed like you're here. a little longer. Dear lady, there's so many things that I've come to fear. A little voice says I'm going crazy.